Our reading this morning, we're turning to 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, and reading the first of five verses. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jechaliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we commit these next few minutes to you and pray that you would empower your servant, Pastor, as he comes to unfold the truths from this passage and other passages of Scripture, and pray that your Holy Spirit will prepare each of our hearts and minds to readily receive and to respond in a positive way to your word. And you know the spiritual condition of everyone that is here this morning, and pray that you would accomplish your will in each one of our hearts and lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Last week, my wife and I saw a huge woodpecker on a tree in our backyard. I cannot remember ever a time in which I saw such a huge woodpecker. It was black, it had a red on its feathers, and just the long beak, and just pecking away at that tree. And as I thought about that, I thought about a story I read about a woodpecker that was on a tree when a bolt of lightning struck it and split it right down the middle. Well, that woodpecker flew away, but in a few minutes it came back with three of his friends and said, "There it is, gentlemen, right over there, that's what I did." Well, that bird was taking credit for something only God could do. But church, may I say that there is one thing that God hates, and that is that God hates pride. The Bible says very clearly for us in Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate. Which that is an interesting phrase of Scripture, because oftentimes we don't think about God hating things, we think about God being a God of love. But there are things that God hates. And it says there are six things, there are seven that he hates. And right at the top of the list is that God hates a proud look. Pride is destructive and does not belong in our life. In fact, many of our problems in life, I want you to think about this statement, that many problems of our life often result from the problem of pride. Marital relationships, when there are problems there, it often boils down to pride. Work relationships, oftentimes, if there's problems, it's because of pride. Church relationships, if there's problems, many times it results in pride. And I could just keep adding to that, because many of our problems result from pride in our life. James chapter 4, verse 1 says that, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members?" The Bible then says in Proverbs 13:10, "Only by pride cometh contention." So today we want to look at this second landmine that we are trying to avoid as Christian soldiers of Jesus Christ who are striving this year to stand for our Lord. And we look at this subject matter that we are to avoid the landmine of pride. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we see how that this landmine was not avoided by a king, Uzziah. He started out well, but he did not end well. Because as the Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, And we will see that played out in this king's life. But would you notice with me in the first 14 verses of 2 Chronicles 26, we see the successes of this king. We find that he was made king at the age of 16. TJ just recently turned 16. Not TJ, Tough, excuse me. I was looking at the right spot, just wrong name. But TJ, can you imagine your brother being king at 16? No, I didn't think so. But here is a man at this time who came to the throne at the age of 16. He then reigned as king for 52 years. One of the things that he did, we find in verse number 2, is that he had built and restored Eloth, which was an important port city at that time. It obviously had been broken down, and he had built it, rebuilt it, and restored it back to Judah. And we find that this man was enjoying many successes. But these successes were definitely linked to an important phrase that we find in verse number 5. Notice what it says in verse number 5, "And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." So over a span of 52 years, King Uzziah is experiencing many successes, but the successes were linked of his relationship to God. That as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. May I remind us all, according to Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, that truly the only time success is mentioned in the Bible is found in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8, but it is linked to this idea that when we read and meditate and obey the word of God, God then says this, "Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So as long as we seek the Lord, as long as we go after him and long for him and get in a good relationship with him, we too can experience spiritual prosperity. As long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. But notice also in the context from verse number 1 down through verse number 14 that he was a man also that had succeeded in war. Now I won't take time to read it for you, but you can find in verse 6 through 8 and then verse 11 through verse 15 that he had established a very elite army of 307,500 soldiers. Then add to that 2,600 valiant soldiers. So he had amassed quite an army. They were very successful in their wars that they were involved in. And they just kept just experiencing one victory after another victory. So here was a man who, again, was seeking the Lord. God even allowed him to be prosperous in wartime. We find then in verse number 10 that he also succeeded, and I don't know how he had the time, but he did. But he also succeeded in farming, because in verse number 10 it says that he loved husbandry. In our modern vernacular, we would say that he loved farming. He loved to do that. He loved to, if you would, mess with the dirt. He liked to get down in that, and he had cattle and so forth, according to verse number 10. So here was a king who definitely enjoyed many successes in his life over time. But now we come to verse number 15 down through verse number 21, and we see that this man went from a peak of success to experiencing a great fall. And why? Well, notice now in verse number 15, the Bible says, "And he," that is Uzziah, "made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal." The rest of the verse now, notice this. "And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 29, verse 23, that a man's pride shall bring him low. Things are going quite well for Uzziah. Success after success, everything he seemed to touch turned to gold. It was a good times for him. But we find in verse number 15, the Bible gives us some insight to his downfall. The Bible says that his name spread far abroad. In other words, when anybody thought about Uzziah, they thought about a great king who had a great army. Here was a man who had a lot of cattle. Here was a man who just enjoyed farming. I mean, he had it together. Which on surface wouldn't seem that bad, but yet it says that he began, if you would, to begin to believe what was being said about him. Now, I don't think there's anybody in this congregation this morning that wants negative things said about you, do you? There's nothing wrong with people speaking well of us. They might call us a good family man. They might call you as a lady very industrious and a hard worker and good things that people can say about you. And there's nothing wrong with that in its place. But yet, verse 15 says, he was marvelously helped till he was strong. He began to believe all the good things people began to say about him. This led to his downfall. Hey, you know what? I'm not that bad of a king after all. Look what I have amassed. I have 307,000 plus soldiers. We're experiencing one victory after another victory. And man, look at all the cattle I have and all the farmland I have. And man, I'm enjoying this. And man, look what I have been able to accomplish. And look at what all the people are saying about me. Hey, I'm greatly loved among the people. You see, the problem is that for Uzziah, he began to believe all the good things people began to say. And now his chest is getting bigger and bigger. His head's getting bigger and bigger. And he's just saying, you know, hey, look what I have done. Does this remind you of another king in the Old Testament? There is in the book of Daniel another king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, who also was experiencing success. And yet he went around and said, look what I have built, look what I have done. And God brought him low, so low, get this now, so low that God, if you would, cursed him and caused him to be like an animal out in the fields. You read about it in Daniel. Because the Bible says that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And here in this context of Scripture, Uzziah definitely is experiencing this in his time. And he is strong, yes, militarily, yes, in farming, yes, in other ways. But yet, he let it begin to go to his head. And his pride brought him down. Look at verse 16 again. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God. Hold it. What happened? Here was a man who was seeking after the Lord, and as long as he did that, God prospered him. But now he sins against the Lord his God. How? Look at the rest of the verse. And went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. That was one place a king was not allowed. Azariah the priest and other 80 priests also knew that this was a place not for kings to come. They were not allowed to go in there and offer incense unto the Lord. That was only the priest's duty. They were the only ones established by God to do that. Uzziah, though, says, hold it, I'm the king, I can do this. And as a result, we find that he had ignored Azariah and the other 80 priests. And he begins to just offer his incense unto the Lord. And when that happened, The Bible says that God struck him with leprosy. From his head down to his feet, here was a man who, again, experiencing successes, but he allowed pride to get in his way and interfered. And we find in the context that he was smitten with leprosy, so much so that he was driven from the kingdom. And he's dwelling in a house by himself, and according to verse number 21, that he is cut off from the house of the Lord, and his son stepped in and began to reign in his place. Wow, how quick he fell. Because we find that in the context, that somewhere in the midst of all of the goodness, we begin to believe that we are receiving God's blessing. Because we have it all together, and we're a notch above the rest. Look this way and listen carefully. How many of you would say amen to this, that you are blessed of God? You are. We are. But do you know God gives a warning to all of us in the midst of the blessings? I want you to go with me, keep your place here, and I want you to go with me to the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, God gives a warning, if you would, to the children of Israel, and I believe then indirectly to us. And notice what he says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 10 down through verse number 12. Here we find the Bible says, "And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all the good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full." God is saying to them, hold it now, you're going into the promised land, you're experiencing a lot of the blessings, I drove out the enemies before you, and you now have wells that you didn't dig, you have houses that you did not build, you have vineyards that you did not plant. He says, you have all of this, and truly you are blessed. But look at the warning, verse 12. "Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." It would seem unthinkable, would it not, that when we experience the blessings of God, that we would ever forget him. But let's stop and think about that. How often do we do it? How often do we forget God in the midst of the blessings? I know initially we would say, praise God, every good gift and every perfect gift, the Bible says, come down from the Father. We can easily say that. But if we're not careful, we can miss this warning that God gives to us and says, then beware lest you forget me in the midst of all of your blessings. Don't forget God. Why would we ever do that? You say, how is that even possible? I don't know. Let's go back to Uzziah. How could it happen with him? I mean, here he is. He's seeking after the Lord. He's experiencing blessing after blessing after blessing. And yet in the midst of all of that, somewhere along the line, he began to think, yes, look what I have gotten. Look at all of this that I have built. Look at all this great army that I have. Look at all of this. And God brought him low because he now goes to a point where he says, hey, I'm king. I can do whatever I want. I can even go into the place where only priests are allowed, and I can offer incense unto the Lord. And God says, no, you cannot. One reason, because this is why David couldn't even build the house that Solomon, his son, was able to build, because David was a man of war. He had bloody hands, if you would. So there was a position for the king, there was a position for the priest, and only the priest could do the priestly duties. You see, we have to be careful in our life that we do not take the blessings of God for granted. I know that's easy to say, but in our life sometimes, we'll just be honest with ourselves, sometimes we do. Sometimes we begin to take it and say, like, look what I've done. I would never begrudge any of you ever experiencing the blessings of God in your life, but don't ever take credit for it, because only God deserves the glory. All glory goes and belongs to Him alone. The job that you have, the job that you're doing well at, the job that is just enabling you to really work and bring in good money, please pause every day and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because that job you're going to go to tomorrow, only the Lord has allowed you to have it. It's not because you're some smart man or smart woman. I'm not taking away your intelligence from you, but at the end of the day, we have to say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm thankful for what I have in my life. I'm thankful for my little Honda Fit. You may not like it. I don't care. You don't have to drive it. You know why I like it right now? Because gas prices are going up, and that doesn't require a lot of gas. It's only a 10-gallon tank that goes about 40 miles per gallon. So I'm loving that little Honda Fit. That Buick LeSabre I have, I'm soon going to park it and just stick with the Honda. Cost me $40 the other day just to fill the tank up. And you say, well, that's not much. You ought to drive the truck I drive. I'd like to have a truck, but nonetheless. But I'm thankful for the two cars I have. I'm thankful that you guys, through your graciousness to me and my wife, that we have a house that we are provided from you that God has allowed us to live in. The 6 acres of land that we're able there to enjoy. I mean, I could just go on and on. And above all those material things, I'm thankful for my family. But I'm going to tell you, it's only because of God. And here Uzziah somewhere forgot this. Uzziah allowed pride to eat him up, and God brought him low. So, church, may I give to you in closing this morning 6 lessons we learn from this account. 1, don't forget who you are and how you got here. Somewhere along the line, Uzziah forgot that. It was God that put him on the throne. It was God that caused him to enjoy the successes. Don't forget who you are and how you got here. Secondly, pride is a hazard to us all. Pride is not, doesn't play discrimination. Pride can affect any of us, but pride is always a hazard to us all. The third lesson I want you to see is this. A good beginning is no guarantee of a successful ending. Uzziah had a very good beginning. 16 years of age, he's now king. He's now experiencing the blessings, but the end of his life, he has leprous sores all over his body. What a terrible way to end your life. When if he had just stayed humbled in the eyes of God, he could have ended it well. Hey, I want to start well, don't you? I remember years ago when I used to be in track and running one particular race, which was not my race to run, but one of my teammates got sick, and so the coach turned to me and says, hey, I want you to be involved in the 880 relay. All I had done at that point was short sprints, 100-yard dash, 220 low hurdles. So long distance was not me. But when I began that 880 relay, and I was the first guy on the first leg of that, you got it, I started it out just like I was in the sprint. I thought, yeah, I can do this. Halfway around that track, I'm beginning to think, this isn't good. I didn't have enough steam to finish that first leg. I mean, I finished it, but I didn't finish first or second or third. I mean, I was hurting because I was not, if you would, built for that long distance. I hadn't trained for it. So in that particular race, I started well. I was out ahead of everybody else, but I didn't finish well. May I say to you, I want to end my Christian life well. I want to be able to say that when I draw my last breath on earth here, that I have pleased my Heavenly Father. I want to be able to look up to heaven and say, Lord, I did the best that I could in the power of the Holy Spirit to live for you. I want to end that life well, whenever that will be. I don't want to be like Uzziah and have that good beginning and poor ending. The fourth lesson I want you to see is this. Pride hinders our fellowship with God. Pride hinders our fellowship with God. Think about this for a moment. The Bible, again, this was key to the life of Uzziah. As long as he sought the Lord, as long as he did that, there was sweet fellowship with him and God. But when he allowed pride to enter in, pride began to put a separation between him and God. That fellowship was now broken. Could it be restored? Sure, but at that moment in his life, pride had hindered his fellowship with God. And I wonder about in your life, how's your relationship with the Lord this morning? I realize some of you may say, well, could always be better. And that's true for all of us. It could always be better. It could always be stronger. We could always be closer to God. But I wonder this morning, are you as close to God as you really want to be? You see, pride hinders our relationship with God. God says, I resist the proud. I give grace to the humble. Here's the next lesson. Pride leads to broken relationships with others. I don't have the time this morning to stand before you and to give you accounts of that I have run into with individuals who sit before me and say, Pastor, this marriage is over. And if I were to draw it down to the most common denominator, it would be this: pride. When I have to do marriage counseling, which isn't often, but when I do, I can tell you that many times the issue is not what they really think it is. The issue many times simply boils down to pride. Oh, I'm not going to say I'm sorry. She's. Oh, I'm not going to say this. I'm sorry. He. What is that? That's pride. That's pride. Never willing to admit that I'm wrong. How about you? When you blow it in a relationship, when you, I'm not talking about just marriage, but any relationship, are you willing to say, I'm sorry? If not, that's a huge pride issue. Because pride's willing to say, hey, I did blow it. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said what I said. I shouldn't have did what I did. Would you please forgive me? Pride will keep you from doing that, but humility will say, I will do that. Pride leads to broken relationships. And then here's another lesson. Pride breeds prayerlessness. Do you pray? You show me someone who does not pray, I'll show you someone who's full of pride. So, well, that's a strong statement. I know it is. But a prayerless life basically says, I don't need God. I've got this, God. I got it all under control, God. Thank you very much. But a prayerful life says this, God, I need you. I don't need you just when times are difficult. I need you in the good times. You know, some of the sweetest times I have with God are in my prayer life. There's times when I'm praying that I'll just weep. I'll be praying for lost souls and tears begin to go down my cheeks because I realize that if that person dies in their sin without Christ, they're dying and going to hell. And that breaks my heart. And so I cry out to God, oh God, please bring someone along them that can give them the gospel and show them how they can be saved. Then there's other times when, just like 2 days ago, before I began my prayer time, I just began to think of all the good things about God I could think about. Even before I began to pray, I just thought about how holy God is, how just He is, how pure He is, how good He is, how loving He is. And I'm telling you what, when I finally went to prayer, my heart was so full of praise. Prayer to me is my life. Say, well, that's what you're supposed to do, Pastor. You're the pastor. You got to pray. Listen to me carefully. I don't know what the updated statistic on this, but a few years ago, pastors were surveyed, and the survey question was this: how often do you pray on a daily basis? You want to know how much it was? 5 minutes. 5 minutes. That was honest confession by pastors responding to that survey. Now, I was not asked that survey, but I did an introspection of my own life and said, Lord, how much time am I really spending with you? Because listen to me carefully. Whether I'm a pastor or not, I'm called to pray. You with me? Now, one of my great duties, let me rephrase that. One of my great joys is to pray for you. I pray for this church family every week. I pray for you by name. I pray for your children. If I know some of your grandchildren, I pray for them. To me, it's a great joy to be able to do that. But I'm going to tell you, one of the things that will drive me from prayer is my pride. Well, I got busy today. I really didn't have time to pray. Now, I'm not trying to guilt you. Just stay with me. Prayer is not necessarily something you have to say, all right, today I'm going to carve 30 minutes aside and I'm going to pray. Now listen, if you do that, great. There's nothing wrong with that. But reality is, do you know you can pray when you're working? Boy, Lord, I pray for my boss today. He didn't treat me right. Maybe that's not the spirit of prayer you ought to have, but you can pray while you're working. Maybe that lady or that man you're working across from on the line is an unsaved person. And no, you may not pray out loud, But in your heart, you're saying, Lord, please save that individual. Please, God, do a work in their life. Prayer, again, is not something that you can only do when you're at home. You can do it while you're driving. I would suggest that on the road today. I would suggest that we pray more and more and more, but the one thing that keeps us from it is pride. Pride says, I got this, Lord. Now, I'll guarantee you, most of us pray when times are tough. Come on now, stay with me. My hand's up. I seem to pray a little bit more fervently then. I seem to pray a little bit more, really, God, I really need to have an answer here. But you've been hearing me say this lately. If you will be a person who really is praying fervently when times are good, you'll be ready when those times are difficult. You'll really be ready then. Sometimes people don't know where to turn when the times really get tough, but when you're turning to the Lord when the times are good, you also will experience His blessing when the times are difficult. So I want to ask you this morning as I close, have you stepped on the landmine of pride? Have you stepped on that landmine lately? Let me give you this Bible verse. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. As London was being bombed in World War II, a little boy was seen wandering down a street covered in dust and dirt. It was apparent that a bomb had landed somewhere near the boy. A civil servant ran to the boy and said, son, let me get you to your mom and dad. But the boy replied that they had been killed by the bombs. How about your grandparents? The civil servant asked. The lad said, I don't have any. The civil servant then said, well, there must be somebody. And the little boy looked up with tears coming down his cheeks and he said, no, sir. I guess I'm just nobody's nothing. Now, may I say to you this morning, it may be that you think in this old, difficult life you're in, that you are nobody's nothing. But with God, that's not true. God this morning so loved you that He gave His Son Jesus to die for you. He wants you to enter into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. The only thing that will prevent you from ever entering into that relationship is this issue of pride. Where pride says, I've got this. But God says, no, you don't. Because one day, the soul that sins, it will die. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says you die without Christ in a Christless hell forever. But there's good news that God so loved you that He gave His Son Jesus to die for you. And if you will turn from your sin and put your whole weight, your whole trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, here's the Bible. Thou shalt be saved. Not hope to be, not might be, but shall be saved. Years ago, I met a man in my second pastorate. I would call a good man. He loved the Detroit Tigers. That's not why he was good. But he was a good man, good to his wife, hard worker. But when I knew him, he was already retired, never part of my church. His wife was. His wife said to me one Sunday, Pastor, I want you to come over to my house. I want you to meet my husband. So I went over there, I met him. And I realized that she couldn't get around very well. She didn't live that far from the church, maybe half mile or less. But he and I got together, and we would go fishing. We went hunting one time together, went fishing together. I soon learned this about him. I could talk to him about anything in life except Jesus Christ. He told me, he says, I don't fill my mind with that junk. And any time I tried to broach the subject, he cut me right off. I resigned that church up there after 5 years of pastoring, and I came down here. I thought that's the last I'll probably ever see of him. Till his wife passed, and he came and lived with his daughter down here. I said, oh, Lord, you've given me another opportunity. I go over and I visit with him. I thought, surely something's changed. Nothing changed. He said, I don't fill my mind with that junk. But at least this one time, finally, there was a breakthrough where I could actually open the Bible and show him a few verses, and he actually listened. But at the end of it, he said, I don't fill my mind with that junk. I wish I could tell you there was a happy ending to all of that. Sadly, there wasn't. I ended up having his funeral, a very difficult funeral for me to do, because his daughters knew that he never got saved, that he never put his faith and trust in Jesus because he was so full of himself. His pride kept him from coming to Jesus. He had a beautiful, godly wife who loved Jesus, but he wouldn't fill his mind with that junk. And he died without Jesus, all because he wouldn't humble himself in the sight of the Lord. Die without Christ. Isn't that sad? But the reason it's sad is because he had opportunities, but he would not fill his mind with that junk. His pride got in the way. Today, if you're without Christ, don't let your pride get in the way. Today, as a Christian in your life, let the Holy Spirit do some work in your life. If you see pride anywhere, run from it. Run from it. If you begin to take credit for that which God is doing, repent of that. Turn from that. Uzziah didn't, and he fell. The devil loves for you to be proudful. Let me close with this one last statement. The reason Satan fell from heaven, and by the way, his original name was not Satan, it was Lucifer, son of the morning. But you want to know why he fell? I could just give you one word, pride. But it manifested itself this way. I will be like the Most High. I will ascend. I will. And God says, no, you won't. And cast him out of heaven. Because in the presence of God, there's no room for pride. In your life this morning, if you have seen anywhere where you have allowed pride, confess it, turn from it, and humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Father, now I thank you today for the power of your word. Thank you for this example, the life of Uzziah. That's one thing about people in Scripture, that you allow us, if you would, to see their warts and all. He had a great beginning, a sad ending. And you allowed us to see that he was able to experience success as long as he sought you. But when he allowed pride to enter in, it brought him down. Father, would you search our hearts this morning if there is any area of pride in our life? Help us this morning during this time of invitation to humble our heart, bow our knee before you and turn from that and confess it. Help us to be clothed with humility. For those without Christ here today, may they come to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. May they be humbled before you and say, yes, that is my need. I need Jesus. And today, won't they believe on the Lord Jesus only as Savior? Do your work now, Father, in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen.